And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We have no idea. Let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a Wowzer Bowser Wednesday? Because God is in charge of this crazy bus called the Christian Journey. First, the will of God. We love the idea of operating in it. We long to please the Lord, and we want to make sure that we're doing the very thing He desires of us. But doing His will with our specific fingerprints is a lifelong journey with twists and turns. The path is narrow. Now, if we could only please Him consistently while we're on the journey. Oh, I see. Next, opposite attracts, sometimes. At other times, opposites create struggle and warfare. In the kingdom of God, almost everything functions in the opposites. The opposites have to do with the ways of the world versus the ways of God. When the world says to hate your enemies, the kingdom says love your enemies. When the world says prove it, God says believe it. When the world says that the situation is lousy that we have and that we have a right to complain, God says. And finally, ladies and germs, what's the real problem? Why do we feel the need to respond to God verbally when we don't understand His plan, timing, or methods? Perhaps we can humble ourselves long enough to recognize that some of our inherited attitudes come from the old Adam and not the new Adam.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanity is an oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. When you do that, the email comes to my $1.19 Chromebook sitting right in front of me. $1.19, can't beat that price. You can also text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. That comes to my Samsung phone, not $1.19. Let me just point that out real fast. And then you can also call us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770, where you get to talk to awesome Jennifer, and your entire universe changes because you're blessed that you get to talk to her.
Exactly.
There you go. And then you talk to me, and then the whole bad universe comes back, and then you just kind of got to deal with it. It's okay. Here's the bottom line to what you want to talk about. You might have a thought, an opinion, a comment. You might have a prayer request, a praise report. We just got done praying for Samson. We'll pray for anybody regarding the will of God to be done in their lives and the action of God's to be seen in people's lives. One of the things that I was reminded of right after we hung up with Samson was this one very bizarre thing that happened to me. I'll share it real quickly, and then we'll get into the trivia and all the other stuff we're going to do. But when I was a young man, and I was literally just to become a Christian, and people were trying to teach me about faith, I was looking for a job, and I remember going through, and this is back then when you had to find a job in the newspaper. Back in the classified days, remember those? And I remember putting the paper down, and I said, Lord, I said, I don't know how this stuff works. I don't know how you do all these weird things, but I am going to try and believe that you're going to bring me a job. I'm going to put down this newspaper, and I'm going to do my best to trust you that you're actually going to bring me a job. And I walked out of my front door, and Ben, the landscaper at our house, saw me and goes, hey, Dave, you need a job? And I said, yes, Ben, I do. And I worked on and off with Ben for 3 years. How about that? That is what can happen, because that is what faith produces. So in saying all of that, you might have a prayer request. You might have a praise report. You might want to share something the Lord's doing in your life. Perhaps you got a question that's really easy or a question that's difficult. If we can't answer it, we'll do a research on it. And also, of course, Bible trivia, which is this. About which dead man did Jesus say, this sickness will not end in death? About which dead man did Jesus say, this sickness will not end in death? Who do you say that about? If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us. The way to do that is to call us at 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483, okay? Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org, which leads us to the website. Check out the website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, I will remind everybody to be praying for my school situation. I told you about it yesterday. I'll tell you about it almost every day until I have it resolved. You see, this is the thing, folks. I just want to say this before we get into this. There's nothing wrong with continually seeking God. And in the passage in the Greek for the word where it's where Jesus teaches about that the persistent person gets answers from the Lord, that Greek word can easily be interpreted as annoy. And so I lovingly like to say, you know, when you're seeking the Lord, annoy him. He doesn't mind. He loves when his kids come to him. See, this is part of the whole thing that people misunderstand. God enjoys the pursuit of his children. Okay? So I'm praying for wisdom in which direction to go for my final, which is coming up in like, oh, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 weeks. And whatever decision I make has got to go for the next 9 months. So it's not just a diamond that needs clarity. It's the host of this show. Okay? Is that a nice way to say that? Okay, good. All right. About which dead man did Jesus say, this sickness will not end in death? Again, if you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us via text, which is 214-210-8483. You can call in 972-445-0770. Never think that somebody needs to call in. We just make sure that the opportunity is available for somebody to call in. I don't want anybody to feel like, oh, I got to fill the space. Like, no, you don't. I got plenty of stuff going on between my left and right ear. I can talk about it all day long. All right, let's get into the message. We're right at that time. For those of us who are searching for the will of God, you searching for the will of God? Oh, yes, I want the will of God. You want the will of God? Yes, I want the will of God. Okay, here it is. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, and 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstance, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I know. Wait. No, Dave. I want the one where I'm driving a big ship or I'm flying in the air with no actual wings or apparatus. I'm just flying. I want that. No. Before God is even going to consider giving you the depth of the personalized will of God, you have to be able to do that which he states plainly. And that which he states plainly is, give thanks in all circumstance, for this is God's will for you. What I love is people who come back to me and say, well, that doesn't mean all circumstances. It's like, yeah, that's right. It's not English. It's in the Greek, and it says all circumstances. Gee, I wonder what all circumstances means in the Greek compared to English. Let me think. Oh, it's the same. Ah, I see. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 through 20. Always have another scripture to stand by other scriptures. Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs of the Spirit, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is that he said? Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. But I'm struggling. Give thanks in everything. In that struggle, you may find out that you draw closer to the Lord. Does that then bring about something that's good? Or let's just ask the question. Does everything work together for good in the kingdom of God or not? But Dave, death doesn't work good in the kingdom of God. How do you know? Our trivia question has to do with death. Guess what? It worked out for good. So that's not true. Multitudes of people believed because of what the answer is. You can't say that. But Dave, losing my job, how can that be good? Because perhaps that's the position God needs you in to get to your next place. But that broken relationship, how can that be good? Maybe God wants to separate you from that person for a time and have you more intensely pray for that person for a period of time, and thereby that person gets more covered in prayer because you had that tension. I mean, I know it's terrible to think that God actually has our best interests in mind, but it is in the book. I said, well, you tell me that you can be thankful? I'm not saying that every moment requires you to sing and dance, but every moment does require you to trust him that he has your best interests in mind, period. There is no escaping that. You want God to do all these wonderful things, but you won't do, or I won't do the basics? Like, nah, I don't think so. All right, about which dead man did Jesus say, this sickness will not end in death? He was talking about our good friend L, or Lazarus. Okay, we're going to take our break and then come back. You are listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back. Don't go anywhere. When confronted by the unimaginable, look at how some of the Bible heroes responded. Abraham's wife, Sarah, laughed when the Lord promised her a son in old age. Why did Sarah laugh? Is anything too hard for the Lord? The Lord answered. That's Genesis 18:13. Zechariah, priest in the temple, asked, how can I be sure of this to Gabriel? I am Gabriel, the angel answered. I stand in the presence of God and have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. Luke, this is out of Luke 1:19. In other words, God was saying, God can do this. Mary exclaimed, how are you going to do this? When Gabriel brought her that great news of her son that she would bear, the angel assured her, nothing, with God, nothing will be impossible. Luke 1:37. The disciples questioned Jesus, and he answered them, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Matthew 19:26. The Lord reminded the prophet Jeremiah, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Jeremiah 32:27. If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. Praise to him who is able. Listen, this is Ephesians 3:20. Praise to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Finally, when life just seems impossible, we can memorize and believe and agree with the Apostle Paul's conclusion of all his personal struggles, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, which is in Philippians 4:13. Darkness comes. This is from John Piper, this next statement. Darkness comes. In the middle of it, the future looks blank. But with God, nothing is impossible. He has more ropes and ladders and tunnels out of pits than you can ever conceive of. So wait and pray without ceasing and hope. I think that this kind of thought process, it's not name it and claim it. It's just believing that God is the God that can do anything is applicable for his kids to operate in when their situation seems impossible, that we deal in the truth of the possible that God brings. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. What's really funny about what we're talking about today is everybody thinks it's about Thanksgiving, and you're wrong. We'll get to that in a second, but let's do our trivia question, our next trivia question. True or false? I like these. True or false? Moses and Elijah were seen at Jesus' ascension. True or false? You think you know the answer? You can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483, or you can email in David at hemustincrease.org. We did not do our DNA, did we? We did. I forgot that, right?
Yes, we did not do it yet.
Okay, let's do it real fast just because I still have my joke. Oh, somebody's calling in. I'll do the DNA. You get the phone. See how we work things around here. DNA, don't forget your DNA. You got to operate in it on a regular basis. D, draw closer to the Lord daily. How often? Daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Why? Because that's what God wants you to know, what he had to say, his words. And then A, always be ready to, can you pull it off?
To serve.
Hey, to serve. Great job. That's right. When you hear the joke I have, you're all going to just cry. All right, we've got somebody ready to answer the trivia. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, David. It's Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. I was praying for you today. How are things going?
Great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm gonna repeat what I said about what I need for prayer. Clarity, 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 clarity. It's only because with the schooling coming to such a kind of a sharp point, it's whatever I decide, that's the next 9 months. And it's like,
oh,
yowza, I want to get this right. So be praying for me or I'm going to cry, okay? All right.
Oh, yes, sir, always.
All right, true or false, Moses and Elijah were seen at Jesus' ascension.
That would be true.
Now hold on. His ascension is when he rose and then ascended to the Father. But Moses and Elijah were not at
the transfiguration.
That's it! There it is! There it is! That's so classic. And do you know why it was Moses and Elijah? I mean, I think we've talked about it before on the show, but do you know what Moses represented and Elijah represented?
The law and the prophets.
Perfect! You got it! What great redemption that was in that response, because that's the key. The law and the prophets, yet the Father said, "This is my son, hear him," which gives him superiority over the law and the prophets.
Oh, yes, yes.
That's, isn't that great? I just like, wowzer, love it.
No doubt.
Excellent.
All right, well, you and Jennifer have a good afternoon.
All right, you too. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, I knew that was going to be tricky because you just, and why? Because transfiguration and ascension. See how they're similar? That was sneaky, Dave.
Very tricky.
That was tricky. I probably should have given a warning on that one. Oh, well, too late. All right, let's do the joke, and then we'll get into the other part of the sermon. I'm having fun. Leave me alone. This joke will offend four people that I know. So for those that are easily offended by jokes, this would be a good time to go get some coffee or whatever. I don't really know. Get a piece of fruit or something. This is a joke, people. It's not theological, right? We're not, no, okay. Good. Ready for this? I get the buzzer? All right. Three guys die on the same day and wind up together in line to see St. Peter at the gates. When their turns are called, St. Peter tells them, "You have to answer a question to get in here. What is the meaning of Easter?" The first guy goes, "Easter, Easter, Easter. That's where we gather our families and eat a lot of turkey and cranberry sauce, right?" "No," St. Peter says angrily. "That's Thanksgiving. Get out of here." The first guy shuffles away from the gate. The second guy says, "Let's see. That's the holiday with the tree and lots of presents, right?" "No," St. Peter retorts. "That's Christmas. Get out of here." The second guy shakes his head and walks his way. The last one says, "Okay, there's a man. He's underground, and there's a big rock that gets rolled away, and then he comes out. Yes, St. Peter nods approvingly. Go on, go on. And the guy says, and he sees his shadow, and there's six more weeks of winter, right?
Mission failed. We'll get him next time.
Don't you think that's funny? Groundhog Day. Okay. Oh, that's three buzzes. That's a lot of buzzes. And he sees his shadow. Come on. All right. Let me go back. I got to recover from that. Hold on. All right. So now we were talking about Thanksgiving, and that was a big part of the first segment, and everybody knows where we're going, and I could teach on that for days and days and days. I actually wanted to do my theology on that, but it's been done a lot, so I don't really get a chance. But I do want to talk about this. Thanksgiving is the opposite of complaining. Complaining. You see, we know it's God's will for us to be thankful. How do we know that? Well, you can read 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, and 18. You can read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. You can see what the scripture says. You can understand it because of Romans 8, 28. And you can even understand it in Romans 9, where it says, what if God? I mean, if God wants to do something, it's great, fantastic. It's awesome, right? But what happens is instead of being thankful, and this is where my sinfulness comes in, instead of doing that, I do more complaining than I do praising. Well, I don't think I do more, but I do plenty of complaining. And so complaining is the opposite of thanksgiving. It's like it's operating in the opposite direction. You're disgruntled. You don't like how God is being God. I would encourage you in all of your circumstances, I know it's a terrible analogy, but I'll use it quickly, to remember that when George Foreman was an older man and he was fighting Michael Moore, and for 9 3/4 rounds, actually 10 rounds, Michael Moore was just absolutely crushing George Foreman, just bam, 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 because it was the older George Foreman, bam, 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 bam. I mean, they were talking, they're going to call the fight, they're going to call the fight, they're going to call the fight. Round 10 comes out, Michael Moore comes out there, and George Foreman throws one punch. Hits Michael Moore in the face, bam, down he goes, bam, fight's over. Before that happened, George Foreman's face looked like cabbage. Okay, one punch in one moment changed the whole outcome of the whole evening. God is more effective than that. And so what we do is we complain. It looks bad, but Dave, you don't understand my situation. And my response is, you're right, I don't understand your situation. You don't understand my situation, but neither one of us really understands God. And that's the problem. So we'll use a couple examples because it's always helpful, or at least one. Genesis 18, 10 through 14. Then one of them said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. Verse 12, so Sarah laughed to herself, and she thought, after I'm worn out, and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I'm old? Verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? So the truth of the matter is she shouldn't have had a child. She's past the age of childbearing. By the way, she does mention, am I worn out, my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure? Intimacy is not just about procreation. That's just very legalistic, because even Sarah talks about it as pleasurable. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is it was absolutely physically impossible. But God didn't care. See, this is the part where we lose it. I understand, God, but you can't do this. Well, let's see. I can raise the dead, so pretty much, do what I want. It's like, and everybody's like, well, no, it's got to be based on this, or it's got to be based on this. The Lord will do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, through who he wants, period. You think, well, why didn't he change the whole beginning of the world? Because man had that opportunity to operate in free will. But isn't it amazing that the second that man and women made that bad decision, God had a plan already in place? It wasn't like God made a plan up on the spot. Oh, let me think what to do. Adam sinned. Eve sinned. What do I do? God was already prepared for what was taking place. In fact, it says that Jesus, the Lamb of God, from the foundation of the world. God had a prior plan. Of course. Talked about that yesterday. He had a plan. And so the idea behind it is to understand that where we're lacking when we complain is our ability to comprehend God. Because what happens is the same thing that happened to me last night. And again, this morning, I had a kind of a bummer situation happen. And Noel kind of pointed out, well, your spirit's kind of dropping there. It's not like I'm happy all the time, but I was kind of like irritated. And then it turned. And then I'm like, oh, right? And then this morning, it turned up again. I'm like, oh. And then just before I came into to the show, it went down again. I'm like, oh. And then just before the show started, it turned up again. Ah! And it's like, that's my problem. I'm the one that's going up and down and up and down and up and down like a yo-yo. The Lord, there's not one point in this where God's going, oh, well, we're going to have to change this. Look at how Dave is acting. The Lord's probably going, if you would stop being, you know, so stupid and just be patient, you would see how it would work. See, but I don't hear that. All I hear is, what have you done for me lately, God? That's what I hear. And the reason I bring it up is because it's not just me that does this. When you tell God you don't like the way he's doing things, even in when you do it in your heart and not in your mouth, you're still complaining. Okay? If it's in the heart, God sees it. All right, take a break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Here's what I want you to get. Here's what I want you to understand. Bad news does not necessitate that there is nowhere else to go except to weep. In Psalm 112, verse 7, the scripture says, he will not fear bad news. His heart is confident, trusting in the Lord. It's not pie in the sky to look at the situation and go, gosh, it's terrible, but I'm going to hold hope because hope is the only thing I have to move past it. If it never comes about, that's fine, but I'm going to live every day believing that there's a better tomorrow. When people think of that, they think, "Oh, Christianity, it's a crutch. It's the opiate of the people," is what Karl Marx said. It takes more guts, more strength, more determination in this day and age to be a Christian and to stand in your faith than it does to be any other thing that there is, because it's the Christians who are under persecution, and it's the people of faith that are getting slaughtered, and, oh, by the way, throughout the world that's taking place.
On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground
is sinking. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. So as you guys know, some people will text us during the show. I try and text you guys back during the off time. So every once in a while when I'm texting and then the intro comes back.
I was getting nervous. So yeah, I was like, oh, it's your cue. Let's
Dave,
go.
Get up there. I don't miss a lot of cues though, do I? I do a lot of pretty good breaks. I'm pretty good on that. So
we'll let it slide.
Thank you so much. All right, here we go. Here is another true-false question. This is not a trick question, but I would look this up if you are not sure. Before, I would not go as much gut as look this up in Luke 4. Here is the question. True or false, Jesus regularly attended a synagogue on the Sabbath. Jesus often attended a synagogue on the Sabbath. Okay, true or false? True or false? If you think you know. And I should tell Joanne and Cordelia, I was just going to text you and they ran out of time. That's just what happens. If you think you know, 972-445-0770 is the number to call. 214-210-8483 is the number to text. And then David@HeMustIncrease.org is the email. I just love that Deborah calls in, and even if she just like bam. I love that consistency. I think she's one of the bravest people we have on the show. I do. She's just like, even if she's wrong, she's like, is it this? And she always asks like it's Jeopardy. She always asks like with a question. I just think that's amazing. All right, what do I got to do? I got to do history. So we should probably do that. History. Let's do history sound.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
All right. Now, there's only three of these, but these are all three very cool. That's all I'm going to say in regards to the day. First of all, it's National Chocolate Milk Day. I like chocolate milk.
It's pretty good.
I'm not as big a fan about milk as I am about chocolate milk, because I'm a big chocolate fan.
Now, do you do the Hershey syrup or the Nesquik?
Either one.
Oh, okay.
Now, I will confess, when I was young, I don't know if you guys did this or not, but remember when they were young and they had the Nestle's with the powder and the little box thing with the little silver?
Yeah.
And I would take a spoon and put it in there and then just put it right in my mouth. Yep.
I think we've all done that.
Yeah. Who hasn't done that? It's also National Hamburger Day. You can never go wrong with that. I mean, this is solid. But then I think the most amazing is it's National Water Park Day. And I have been actually, ironically, to about 7 different water parks. I love water parks. I mean, I just really, really enjoy them. Now, if I went to a water park, they would have to make everybody stand further away in the splash zone area. But back then, 30 years ago, 100 pounds ago, you know what I'm saying?
I do, yes.
That's just how it goes. Today, you want to hear, these are classics. Today, 1964, on July 28th, 1964, the first photos of the moon by the U.S. spacecraft Ranger 7 is launched. 3 days later, it sent back a series of pictures that impacted how the moon's surface looked and transmitted over 4,300 photographs. It's like, I had no idea. The other thing I thought was amazing is on this day in 1943, coffee rationing happened. It was actually the end of the coffee rationing, and during World War II, they had coffee rationings.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense to me. But my favorite is this from 1933, the first singing telegram.
Oh, wow.
See, that's cool. A fan sends Rudy Valley a musical birthday greeting.
He was probably like, what is this?
I know, right? I just think that's fabulous. I love stuff like that. All right. Trivia question. True or false, Jesus regularly attended the synagogue on the Sabbath. Isn't Jennifer great? She's so good. She's just really so kind. And she's busy. She's doing multiple tasks. So we'll let her alone for a while. If you know the answer, text in.
That's what I'm going to tell you.
Back to the complaining thing. So I want to make sure you understand that I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty. Anybody in the world can teach on the words that we speak. And they will be right every single time. As you know, in the book of James, it talks about the words that we speak. And there's a big problem for everybody with the tongue. Can you imagine somebody who's a radio host? I mean, it's just like, come on, right? So what we need to do, though, is somebody's calling in on the answer on the trivia, so we'll give them a chance. But what I'm going to say is what we need to do is be aware of what we're saying and be aware based on the fact that our words do communicate our levels of faith. And so when we're complaining, that's a level of faith. And when we're praising, that's a level of faith. So I'm going to take this caller, we'll answer this, and then I'll come back to the rest of the teaching. Okay. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Paul, David. How's it going?
I'm doing fantastic, Paul. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
You know what? I knew you were going to be positively, wonderful, good in the Lord. I just knew it.
You got that right every day.
Praying. That's so funny.
He just does not give up on me.
Yeah. Every person that's called, I was praying specifically for today. I'm just waiting to see if we get a fourth call. Be like, wowzer, bowzer. All right, here's a classic, kind of an important one. True or false, Jesus often attended a synagogue on the Sabbath. True or false?
True.
That is correct, sir!
Yes,
you are right.
I've read a few times that he did, so I was going to go with true.
That's correct. And see, that's really important for people to understand that Jesus, it wasn't like he left. I mean, Luke chapter 4, verse 44, talks about him regularly attending the synagogue, and people should recognize that. Even sometimes when the church or the synagogue is not the greatest in the world, that doesn't mean you don't go.
That's right.
In fact, you should go where you can do the most good, because then you'll be serving the body and not just being served. That's something
that
people can think about as well.
Amen to that, brother.
All right. Good job, my bro. I appreciate it very much.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a blessed day.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. So, all right. So, here we go. So, I want you to understand the level of disappointment God has with people that complain. Now, of course, he delights, and it even says he inhabits the praises of Israel in Psalm 22:3. It's like God kind of makes his home or his dwelling amongst the praising and the praise people. And isn't it always cool that not people that just make statements, but people that have a genuinely joyful, appreciative heart of the Lord, they're just cooler to be around. Have you ever noticed that they're just, how do I say this where it doesn't come off really weird? People that are more thankful are more fun to be around, and people that complain and whine all the time are not as much fun. Is that fair to say? I think that's fair to say. We got somebody else that got a question or something they want to ask? Or
he has a question for
okay,
you.
Okay, hopefully I can answer. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Oh, this is Troy. You mashed my button again.
Okay, I need you to turn your radio down, Troy, because that'll when you turn your radio down, then we don't get the echo. That's the key.
I said you pushed my button again.
What I say now, Troy?
At 1943, you know, here about a year ago or 6 months ago, we couldn't get no toilet paper.
Yep. Yep.
Well, back in 1943, you couldn't even get a store.
Wow.
Everything was rationed. I'm telling you, it was, you couldn't get nothing, David.
And how did everybody respond to that, Troy? Were they supportive to help one another? How did it go when in the country then? Did people rally together behind that?
No, not really. It wasn't nothing to rally over.
I gotcha.
I mean, it was just nothing, David. I mean, like you say, coffee was rationing. And if you could get coffee, it would be rationing. You know what I mean?
Right.
You couldn't get nothing.
Wow.
You just had to live on bread and water mostly.
Wow.
If you had any bread.
Yeah, you know, it's so.
All right, that's all I wanted to say.
And I appreciate that.
Oh, from 40 to 47, it was bad.
Got it. Good to know.
It was bad. I'm 83. Well, I'll be 83 in December, but. My friend, I've lived through all this, and I'm telling you, I mean, the last days is really going to wise these people up. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. I actually believe that. I think that's accurate. Excellent job. Thank you, Troy.
Yeah. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So we get that perspective from somebody who's lived through that. Right? It's kind of an interesting point of view. People don't think about that. See, now we're such a wealthy nation. To ration now means that not everybody gets a second big screen TV. It's kind of a little, it's like a different planet. Right. Okay. All right. Let me go back to this text and then we'll go. It's true. In our country, the poor person, they only have 6 telephones. What? Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 through 10 says, I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were under the cloud, and they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food. They drank the same spiritual drink. They drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them. That rock was Christ. Well, how do they get in without Christ? That was Christ. People don't catch that. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Not good. Now, these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. I'm just going to skip down to verse 9. We should not test Christ as some of them did and were killed by snakes, and do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. How does God feel about people that are complaining? Well, I don't know. He killed a bunch of people because they were complaining, so I think that's all you got to remember right there. All right, folks, you are listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's 3 ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media. And on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section. And it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video. But you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Let me tell you what I'm torn between the two. I'm twixt between the torn two. You want to know why? I've got the biggest breaking story ever.
No,
to
you
be
need to do that first. Yeah. I just can't wait.
More than my whole thing about the 4-way stop sign.
Yep.
You want me to do the number one story?
That's
ladies
right.
And gentlemen, you better get ready. Here's my advice. I don't give this advice very often, and I don't give it uncheckfully. What's uncheckfully? I don't know. Here's the biggest story you have ever heard on the David Spoon Experience. If you have children who are listening, if you are not in a car, it's time to cover their ears or send them into another room. That's how chilling this is. Ladies and gentlemen, I have it off the press literally within the last 2.5 hours. Actually, it's less than 2.5 hours ago. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. I have it right in my hands. Get ready. Do not get nauseous when you hear this. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a fact that as of today, the Navy, the United States Navy, officially has made its proclamation. Ready? Are you ready? Are you listening? This is the most important thing ever. You ready? That Captain Crunch is a fraud. Ladies and gentlemen, the United States Navy has declared that Captain Crunch...
I do not buy it.
No, listen to this. Here's why. Let me tell you why. Captain Crunch has three stripes on his cuffs, and that signifies a commander and not a captain. So the United States Navy has made it absolutely known today, Captain Crunch, nay. He nay a captain. Nay. Now, it is true.
Rename the cereal Commander Crunch?
Yes, Commander Crunch. That's the new. That's why I told you, don't let your kids hear this. It is possible that that uniform could represent either German or Portuguese Navy. They're not sure because all of those uniforms were lost with their great navies. And if you can't shout sight, you'll have to... Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I love shows like today. They're just all over, but they have a main theme, but people are engaging, and it's fun. Okay. Okay, this... I probably should give this one to Deborah. That's what I was going to say, because she was... Okay. When did Jesus' clothes become white as light? I know she's answering it right there. She's looking at the phone going, I know what that one is. When did Jesus' clothes become white as light? That is the question. If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483, or you can email David at hemustincrease.org. Okay, so we did history. I don't know why that paper's still around. I do have a word. It is actually, I should have said this, a Greek word. So let's have some Greek music. I don't know what's Greek. Euros. Is that Greek? Euros is Greek, right? Isn't it?
I think so, yes.
I hope so. I like Euros.
It will be for now.
It is now. Yeah. That's right. It's like that girl, that joke about the little girl. I'm drawing God. Nobody knows what he looked like. They will. That's so funny. All right, Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." By the way, Jesus also taught repent, by the way. Peter taught repent, by the way. Paul taught repent, by the way. There's a theme there, huh? It's amazing how people will continually say, well, this is the message of the New Testament. There's 1,000 messages of the New Testament. Do you want the first one, the last one, the middle ones? Which one do you want? Okay. Repent is mataneo, and it means after to think. Okay? Mate is to after, and neo is to think. So after to think, literal translation. Repentance is a decision that results in a change of mind, which in turn leads to a change of purpose and action. So repentance, true repentance, there can be sorrow associated with it. It doesn't have to be, but there can be and often is, especially because if you're sorry or the Lord says, hey, you got to go this direction, you got to change your mind on this thinking, you usually respond by going, oh, I was thinking wrong. Oops, sorry. So that's a normal response. But the idea is in your mind, you're thinking, oh, that's, I got to, oh, wrong direction. And repentance always leads to the correct direction, or it's supposed to lead to the correct direction, I should say. Okay? All right. Where was Jesus dressed white as light? Which I always found fascinating, just for those sci-fi fans, just for those other people, because it's like, you know, it's like energy or something. It's like white as light. How is that possible? Aha. All right, where was that happen? Where did that happen? If you think you know, 972-445-0770, or you can text 214-210-8483. Let's wind down on the complaining. First of all, let's wind down. It's a pun, and I didn't even know it. Well, let's wind down on the complaining. Let's bring it down. In other words, let's do it less. We know Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Our words also speak in regards to our faith within our situations, within our relationships, to God's faithfulness, to life, and wait, even to ourselves. Complaining speaks about us and to us often. You got to be careful. You got to watch that. Now, before you get all, name it and claim it, or, you know, positive confession only, which, well, Jesus needed to sign up for that class, apparently, because that's not how that went. But the reality check is this. Within the framework of Scripture, there are a couple of things that the Lord says or shares that we need to be aware of. And the complaining one is a bad one, and though you can never weary God with your persistence and with your relationship, there is one place Scripture gives you a great identity where you can really tire God out. That's in Malachi 2:17, where God says, "You have wearied the Lord with your words." It's like, uh-oh. Right? That's not the kind of thing we want to do. If you want to annoy God in a loving way, being persistent, that's fine. If you weary God with your words, it means you're complaining. It means you, what? Okay, get ready. It means you don't like the way God is being God. That's what it means. You think, oh, no, I'm not saying that. Well, when you complain, you are saying that. You are saying, hey, God, I don't like the way you're doing your God stuff. That's not what I mean. But I know, but that's what you're saying. And it's like, got to be aware of that. Ephesians 4:29-30, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit being grieved is deeply connected. People will go, well, it's in the Greek and it's connected. Eh, okay, maybe. But here's the bottom line. It's connected in thought. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mind. That's swearing, Dave. No, look at the context. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mind. Only what's helpful for building others up. The unwholesome talk is things that are bringing people down. And what brings somebody down more than,
it's my birthday?
It's just like, well, you gotta be kidding. That's so depressing, right? The idea behind it is for wholesome conversation to be that which lifts or edifies or strengthens or encourages. And when we're doing that, we're bringing benefit to the people that listen, and we're staying away from grieving the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit lives inside you. And when you and I say all that complaining stuff, you know he hears it, right? I'm just saying, you know he's, I heard that. You see what I'm saying? Like, and I think if the Holy Spirit popped out and looked at us and just like, did you really just say that? And then pop back in, we'd be a lot more careful with what we have to say. Now, I know that's a terrible illustration, but it does make the point. We need to be speaking things that are uplifting. If you're the kind of person that likes to remind people of your frustration with them, there's something wrong with that. You know, if you're the kind of person that's like, even though you're like this, it's like, what kind of person does that? That's not a Christian. That's not Christian attitude. That's not right behavior. You got to have wholesome talk come out of your mouth, lifting one another up, encouraging one another. And especially when we're talking about brothers and sisters, especially in the Lord. Your mouth has a tremendous amount of power. It does. And I think the greatest witness in this is kids. Kids, I could use dogs because we have Bert and he's a puppy, but I got to be careful because people get offended on stuff like that. But kids, when you say something super negative to a child and kind of crush their spirit, their whole face saddens up. It's like their countenance falls. But when you say something that's uplifting, encouraging, loving, supportive, affirming your commitment, their whole face lights up. And that lighting up, that's encouraging them and building them up. And that can all happen by words. If you're a parent, or if you're a child, so you have a parent, or if you're a sibling, how you say and what you say matters. Okay? And what's that old adage? If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. It's not entirely incorrect. It's not biblical, but it's not entirely incorrect. You know, you could really defend that by going, God is in heaven, you're on earth, therefore let your words be few. So you could, you know, fight around that. I think the point is we can do better. And we should do better. And God expects us to do better. And in lieu of that, we need to turn it around from the complaint to the praise. That's all. And I don't think everybody just says, okay, here, I'm going to just speak positive or I'm going to speak faith on a regular basis. Remember, Paul said, I believe, therefore I speak. That's what the scripture says. And then Paul reiterates and says, we believe, therefore we've spoken. That's not what it is. You come before the Lord and you say, hey, I can tell some of my words are not as uplifting as they need to be. They're not as encouraging as they need to be. And I can get bitterness kind of coming out in my words. And I'd like to do better. And the Lord will then, you're working in a partnership with God to do better. And you think he's going to answer that prayer? You bet. You bet. So when you come across it and you're just shaking your head, smile. Take a deeper breath if you need to. Maybe take two. And remember, it all works out for good because that's who you serve. Right? All right. Trivia. Got to answer the trivia. Boy, if I don't answer the trivia, then I think about it all night. It's terrible. When did Jesus' clothes become white as light? That would be the Mount of Transfiguration, where a lot of people think that was like an energy burst. I don't know. White as light. They couldn't figure it out. That's pretty bright. That's all I know. Okay. All right. Let your words speak life. That's a good thing, especially coming from the God of life, right? All right. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, taking a 22-and-a-half-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Destroying everyone and everything they find. He's the hungry giant.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.